This recording, England 49, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I am 18 years of age. I come from a discreet corner of Surrey, which is a county in England, a small village by the name of Englefield Green. I have lived there for as long as I can remember, which is all my life, in fact, all 18 years of it. It's a very nice little village, population of about 7,000, and it has a very nice little church and a village green where people play cricket, which is a weird English sport that I don't get, even though I've been watching it for years. So, yeah, I grew up, which was nice, and I went to a school in Ascot, Royal Ascot, where they have the Royal Ascot races, all the horses, and people go in nice hats and bet on horses and stuff. I went to school, it was kind of a private school, although it wasn't stuck up or anything, because anyone could go. We had all sorts of kids there. There were Chinese kids, Jimmy Chow was one, and he couldn't say 20, he would say chenty, as a quick aside. Alex Vinokurov was a really rather amusing Russian who our English teacher would mock constantly, the poor kid. I went there and then I stopped going there, but somewhere in between I think I changed schools, although I couldn't tell you where or when. So that was nice. I took my A-levels, which is like an English exam that you have to take in order to quote-unquote graduate, although English people don't graduate, they just leave. And then, for some reason, I don't know, it sounded like a good idea at the time, I decided to come to America for a year and spend a year in school over here. So I ended up in a small town called Marquette, which is somewhere in the middle of Kansas off a dirt track, and I ended up going to Smoky Valley High School in Lindsborg, where I did stuff and acted and painted, and I got to put on one of my plays, which was nice, and it was all really rather tiring, and they wouldn't let me compete in anything, the blighters, because I've already completed my education in England. So despite my desire to compete in forensics, tennis, basketball, they would not let me. And while I was over here, a very kind family took me to Hawaii, which was absolutely delightful. I got pulled up on stage at one point to do a hula dance that my friend already knew. I'm convinced he was just trying to make me look bad. But there we are. This evening, I will be going back to eat some nice meat at my host grandmother's house, and we will play cards. And it'll all be very merry, I'm sure. I'll then go home. I have piles of homework to do, which I'm not really looking forward to in the slightest.